KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, who is black, is slamming Republicans over their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Jeffries told reporters today there is no evidence that the president engaged in any wrongdoing with respect to his family's business dealings. He called it phony effort to distract from his House GOP's track record. Republicans are moving forward with formalizing their impeachment inquiry with the potential floor vote in the coming weeks. The inquiry is focused on whether the president improperly benefited from his family's foreign business dealings, which he strongly denies. Travis Scott, who is black, is sharing a collaboration with the watch manufacturer Audemars Piguet, which he says he worked on for 4 years. On Thursday, the rapper shared an internationally low-quality trailer for some apparel and accessories. It gave fans a glimpse of the collection, which includes a Royal Oak watch, hoodies, jackets, pajamas, and more. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Need an accident attorney by your side? All you got to do is call the accident guys.
Injured in a car accident or at work? Call the accident guys to speak with a real expert attorney for a free consultation.
Environmental justice, pollution, and climate. In Los Angeles and across America, people of color are suffering and dying from disproportionate health impacts on a planet that has less than 10 years to prevent irreversible damage, heat illnesses, respiratory illnesses, water-related illnesses, food system impacts, insect-related diseases, black maternal health, and mental health effects. As the impacts of climate change mount, millions of vulnerable people, our people, are going to bear the brunt of these extreme environmental events, which will likely lead to forced displacement, loss of cultural identity, and other related risks. These realities are as real as rain. Stay tuned to KBLA Talk 1580 for more details about the most progressive multimedia and live events campaign any black media outlet has ever undertaken to combat the climate catastrophe. Experts, events, empowerment. It's all on the way from unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580. We don't black down. We level up.
Level up. Level up, 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 level up.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Good morning, KBLA Talk 1580 congregation. This is Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that show that talks about those subjects that we don't quite address enough within our households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the urban family, our job is to bring attention to it and provide resources and answers to all your questions about it. Our goal is to make sure when you get up early on a Saturday morning that you catch that worm of wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation to live your best life. Speaking of living your best life, our quote for this week comes from Oscar Alakis, and he says this. He says, you cannot fix a problem in the world unless you've already resolved the underlying conflict within yourself. If you're not familiar with that brother, he's a black South African, and he's worth $720 million. Oscar Alakis. We've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580, and our topic this morning is the conflict within. Our guest is Dr. Coco Welton. The foundation of Dr. Coco's background is rooted in the Black nationalist movement during the 1960s. His mentors include Medgar Evers, Robert Williams, Minister Malcolm X, H.R.A.P. Brown, Stokely Carmichael, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Huey P. Newton, and George L. Jackson. His journey transitioned him into new realms of philosophy and activism. His philosophical transition allowed him to touch the minds of people like Dr. Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, Judge Thomas Troward, Ernest Holmes, Neville, Dr. Albert Einstein, and noted physician Stephen Hawking. His metaphysical training resulted in the founding of the Mariah Institute of Creative Intelligence and the Fourth Millennial School of Noetic Science. Now retired from lecturing and teaching, Dr. Coco's priorities include imparting love, wisdom, and understanding to his children and his grandchildren, and when given the opportunity, contributing his wit and knowledge to covering the broad range of subjects that impact our community and the world. This morning, he's here to help us acknowledge, examine, and contribute to the understanding and resolve of the conflict within. Dr. Coco, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Good morning, Minister Gerald. I call you Minister Gerald.
Hey, that's okay. I accept that. You know, there was a time when I wouldn't let nobody call me Reverend.
God morning.
And you and I know why.
God morning to your audiences.
So, man. You know, I talked about how, you know, we grew up together. We've known each other for over 60 years. And there's me, you, Charles Dean. I mean, we go all the way back, and I've been with you throughout your journey. And I have observed how in that 60-year period you've transitioned, you know, from somebody who was, I would call, an extreme militant at one time, and now you have somewhat a conservative view on society and the conflicts that we face in this country. So let's start, because everybody hasn't known you for 60 years like I have. Let's start by giving a brief explanation of that transition and why you are where you are today versus where we were when we were running up and down the street in the 60s raising hell.
Well, the principle of life is evolution, and that is not a word that is strictly Mr. Darwin's. But before I render my opinions and ideas, I want to say to your audience that these are strictly my own ideas. Mm-hmm. These are the realizations I've come to while walking through this strange realm. They're not meant to be accepted by your audience as any valid truth, just my points of view. With that being said, the evolution is what we're here. We are something that is non-material. Many people call it spirit, God with us, God in action. So with that being said, we're here to evolve that divine principle within us. So to go from politics to spirituality is just a natural evolution of the soul. You're here passing through, and you're to gain experiences which hopefully will open you up to the divine presence within you. For me, it began when I saw Chairman Mao Zedong invite President Richard Nixon to China. It began when the Phthet Lao of Cambodia began to massacre their people in large numbers. It began when I saw the Black Panther Party be splintered from within by infiltration of intelligence agencies and saw black leaders go at one another, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that causes you to question. For me, it was a simple question. How do you win with insurmountable, inexhaustible resources that a state can have to destroy its oppositional forces, which is what we were? How do you win? And that was the beginning. And that sent me on a path that today I realize there's only one struggle to be waged, including with conflict resolution. Everything is with yourself. Even when you pray, you're only talking to yourself. So as I've walked through your realm as a soul, an individual idea in the mind of the one principle that man calls God, it is about self.
And that's why we're here today, to talk about that conflict within self. We all know this is a cause and effect world, and everything that we witness, everything that's in the news, everything that's going on within our families, everything that's going on with our own personal lives starts with a thought. You know, unless somebody has it in consciousness, it can't exist. We do know that. And the more time we spend on a particular idea, and the more time we talk about that idea, and the more time we act upon that idea, the more we experience that consciousness or that idea in our lives. And Some of that I learned from you, by the way. So, you know, that's, I understand where you are, but it was, I have to say, having known you for as long as I have, it I won't use the word amazes me, but it excites me to see how, you know, you've gone from super militant to somebody that has kind of opened his mind and ideas up to encompass all of that the world has to offer. And don't just look at it from they're trying to get us. We need to do something to help ourselves.
I love that last sentence. And before we go to a break, mm-hmm. I just want to make certain I make it clear to your audience.
Yeah.
I remain as a soul oppositional. By nature, I'm oppositional.
Uh-huh.
And that may be somewhat of a paradox to resolve because we're talking about conflict resolution.
Uh-huh.
But the world invites many souls to be oppositional because that is what awakens it more than anything else is opposition. We would not be talking about Palestine this very day.
Mm-hmm.
If there wasn't severe opposition through Hamas.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, you know, debate is what brings attention, you know, to different things that are going on. And you see it from both sides. A lot of times when there is conflict in a situation, it's because neither party tends to want to look at the other side or get an understanding of where the other individual is coming from. And we're going to dive a lot deeper into our topic, which is the conflict within, here with Dr. Coco Welton. I'm Reverend Gerald. You're listening to Urban Family Focus.
Healthy wife, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.
Celebrate Southern California's health equity heroes at California Black Health Network's 40th anniversary event at Hotel Indigo's 18 Social, Thursday, December 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. Join us as we celebrate 40 years of advancing health equity for Black Californians and honor local organizations like Black Women for Wellness, the California Black Women's Health Project, Riverside County PEI, and the African American Infant and Maternal Mortality Project, December 7th. Buy your tickets now at cablackhealthnetwork.org.
Lowe's knows how to save pros time and money. Right now, get up to 40% off vanities. And there's more. Get up to 50% off select tools and accessories from trusted top brands like DeWalt and Craftsman. Visit us in-store or online for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. About 11:30 through 12:06. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
King C. Gillette knows you're dedicated to your barbershop routine, but how do you maintain the beard hair you already have? The King C. Gillette Beard Thickener helps to reduce patchiness and strengthens hair's resilience to breakage. Apply the King C. Gillette Beard Thickener daily to see a thicker and fuller beard in just 14 days.
Whew.
It's highly scented with King C. Gillette's signature scent. Just trim, wash, and soften.
Mm.
With King C. Gillette.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Single Moms Planet is a nonprofit organization dedicated to uplifting under-resourced single mom business owners and working mothers nationwide. Single Moms Planet offers comprehensive programs of financial literacy, business development, mentorship, and entrepreneurial training. They provide education, accountability, and hope. Single Moms Planet was founded by model, TV personality, and producer Nefertiti Plessy. Nefertiti felt firsthand the challenges that face single moms as she was raised by a working single mother. She learned that the most disadvantaged group in the United States are single mom families. According to the U.S. Census, 30% live under the poverty line. So she decided to do something about it, along with co-founder Cole Patterson. Their goal is to end the poverty cycle in single mother households through education, opportunity, and networking, providing family and child enrichment programs for under-resourced single parent families. Single Moms Planet serves over 10,000 single moms and their children each year. Studies show that business development and financial literacy provide a positive environment for children and families, exposing them to new possibilities and opportunities. To attend one of their fun events, make a donation, or get more information, or if you need help as a single mom, please visit singlemomsplanet.org. That's singlemomsplanet.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And I'm here this morning with my friend of 60 years plus, Dr. Coco Welton. And he and I have a lot of conversations over the course of a month. And we debate, we argue, we do everything but fight. But we make our points, and they sometimes differ and sometimes their own point. So, Dr. Coco, We decided we would talk today about the conflict within us. There's a lot going on in the world, as you've already mentioned. We know what's happening over in Palestine on the Gaza Strip. We know what's going on in this country politically and how that we grew up focusing our life on Black history can't even be taught in this country in a lot of places anymore. And all these things represent conflict. But we know that conflict starts within the individual. So give us your definition of conflict resolution.
On a personal level, which is where I'd like to begin, it's simple. Conflict for me is what I'm doing versus what I think or know I should be doing.
And in general, conflict resolution to the masses means?
To the masses, I mean, that's an extremely complex response that question warrants. Mm-hmm. We simply haven't the time. Yeah. I don't have the intellect, but I will say this. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the humans will not collectively resolve their deepest conflicts. They will drive themselves into oblivion.
Mm-hmm. So you don't believe that some of these issues, because if we look at history, you know, when we were, you know, I'm trying to think of our fifth grade teacher's name, but we were back in class and we were studying
Ms.
history.
Ms. Goddard, Ms. Bullen.
Ms. Goddard, Ms. Bullen. History was all about wars. It was about conflict. I mean, most of what was in our history books was either conflict or some fantasy about, you know, George Washington eating an apple or something.
Those are the more open conflicts.
Right.
But imagine the subtleties of this. If I'm driving down the street to your studios here to be on your show, and I drive down the street and I see massive amounts of litter and filth and unkept properties and poor city maintenance and poor infrastructure, I'm conflicted because that isn't how I choose to live, nor is that how I would live. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm conflicted right there. Mm-hmm. With respect to wars, that's just a more aggravated form of conflict. Conflict, but also has a positive side because it drives the dialectic to progress, meaning you're conflicted about your labor, so you develop a machine. You're conflicted about the people who want to be paid for their labor, so you develop a machine. You implement technology to reduce that conflict. So conflict can be driven into a positive domain or a negative. But with respect to conflict overall, that's just a natural part of us being here. And any idea that we want to enter into the public discourse that, well, we want to end conflict in this issue and that issue, likely is not going to happen because as soon as you think you have an answer, for example, methadone, that was the so-called answer to heroin. But the reality is it doesn't really cure the addiction process. It might abate crime. It might cause that person to become a functional addict. Mm-hmm. But still, in that conflict, the person still results an addict, addicted to a substance.
Well, that's a situation where we get into a whole nother topic of harm reduction and things of that nature when it comes to people who may be addicted, which is something I deal with on a daily basis. But what I'm want us to get our audience engaged in today, because I do want them to chime in at 800-920-1580. That's 800-920-1580. If you like me, you're going to have something to say about what this brother says. So we do want you to call and chime in. But when we're talking about defining conflict resolution, I understand your personal view of it. And I also understand that you've told me many times that you believe that at the end of the day that we're going to literally eliminate ourselves because of how we treat one another and how we engage with one another and our refusal to accept how someone else sees how they want to live their life versus how we see how they should live their life, which to me is where a lot of this conflict comes from. You know, you have as long as man has been occupying this planet as long as we've had so-called civilization. What I see is that what's referred to as a caste system, if you will, where you have the elite and the royal families, you know, sitting on the top dictating to everybody as to what they do and what they should do. And then you have their main weapons of war, which I identify as military and in some cases even religion, is used to invoke or provoke a lot of the conflict that we have in this world. And then you have your working class people and your merchants, and then you always have that lesser class, the slaves and the indentured servants and those people. So when I see conflict resolution, I see that hierarchy that I just named, and I see those at the top who put things in play and who direct, guide, or force things on the populace that keeps all of them striving to get to the top and thus creates conflict within.
One of the things I appreciate about you personally is you bring my feet back to the ground, because I'm fully aware that I tend to speak ethereally, meaning I'm out there, if you will, to use that metaphor. But you bring my feet to the ground. Urban Family Focus is about, okay, what is the answer? What is the solution right now? What's tangible?
Right.
I get that. So that forces me to say this to you each time. Start at the beginning. Put my feet on the ground and say this, conflict resolution. One of the things that affects the demographic in Leimert Park, we could go to Harlem, we could go to Philly, we can go anywhere, but we'll start at Leimert Park. The demographic that is predominant here, they don't listen to one another. Simple conversation. They don't listen to one another. So you want me to give you something substantive, something that you can, it's palpable, if you will. Listen to one another. I'm listening to you. You're listening. Start right there. One of the things, again, I'm repeating it, that I see in the melanated group is a lack of just the simple dynamic of listening. For example, to use an abstract, you will say ABC. And once the listener, if they've listened at all, responds, it comes out LMNOP. And it's amazing. And I try this all the time. In other words, something you say gets twisted, misconstrued in their thinking process, and it is not even close to what you've articulated. So, in the interest of Urban Family Focus and conflict resolution, please, audience, just start with simple listening without cutting people off and interrupting them.
Well, I think, and again, this is these are conversations that you and I have all the time, and I hear what you're saying, but I believe entities like this radio station, KBLA Talk 1580, there are people who listen to what the people on this radio station have to say. There are people that have been listening to what the owner of this radio station has been saying on the air for many, many, many years. So when you say we as a community need to listen to each other more, I can go there. You know, that's the key to understanding, is to listen and understand where somebody's coming from. But I don't see it as we as a people, or we as a community, we are refusing to listen. There's different levels of understanding. There's different levels of intellect within a community. And some of us are very keen, as in yourself, of listening and understanding and taking what somebody says and responding in an intelligent manner. But everybody may not be of that, of your intellect, or any of the people on this radio station. But I think when they go to church on Sunday, you know, they're listening. They may not hear everything that is intertwined within the message, but they are listening. They're trying to get information, or at least trying to get something to comfort themselves at that moment. So when you say we don't listen, I have to push back and say we listen differently, or we should listen more intently, or we should listen to a point where we can all get on the same page and move problem in solving a particular conflict within the community. I go with you there, but I kind of push back on the fact that we have a habit, or we are people who just don't listen.
Okay, so observe this. I never interrupted. I listened. I listened acutely. Nothing you and what I want to say as well, I accept everything you said. Mm-hmm. There's no pushback on not one point you made. Mm-hmm. The observation I make is every example you used was public discourse. You didn't get to the husband and wife. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to the big brother, little brother. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to the two people on the metro line. You didn't touch those individual experiences. And that's most what I had in mind, mm-hmm. that humans in general, but I'm speaking of a local demographic, mm-hmm. I've paid attention to this for decades. They simply don't listen to one another. And my illustration was clearly individual because mm-hmm. urban family mm-hmm. focus, mm-hmm. something local, something individualized. I have paid attention to this dynamic for a long time, and I'm suggesting to you, if not indicating, if mm-hmm. not emphasizing, there is a serious lack of listening. You go to public meetings, mm-hmm. and people are shouting, look at the United States Congress. These people are breaking out into near fisticuff. And look at the so-called right, and look at the so-called left. But again, those are public domains. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, one of the situations that needs concerned attention is listening. And that results in crime of capital nature, because the ability to listen is the leading to communication. And communication is something that is sorely lacking. So start with listening.
Okay. Now I will firmly accept that as a solution to...
See, we're conflict resolving, right?
To the conflict within. If you're saying that, if the point you're making, and this is what I'm taking from what you're saying, is that we're trying to solve the conflict within. And that conflict within us is the one that gets translated into society as a bigger conflict. So the first step we should all take is to listen more intently and with a little more understanding and empathy to what's being said, and that will minimize the result of more conflict.
I accept that totally, just with one proviso.
Okay.
I'm not trying to solve the problems of the world anymore.
Well, that's another topic that where you and I get a little pushback. I'm not trying to solve the problems of the world either, but what I am trying to do is do the best I can to offer people information that will help them become a little more in tune to what's going on within themselves, and that will help them be able to navigate through this thing we call life with a little more compassion and understanding, and with an idea that says the more I take care of myself physically, the more I take care of myself mentally, the more I take care of myself spiritually, the better off our experience here will be.
Minister Gerald, what we just modeled, you and I, mm-hmm. what we just demonstrated, that's my contribution. Mm-hmm. With respect to going out, maybe forming an organization or some platform, that I will not do anymore.
Right.
But what you and I just demonstrated to your audience, that's all we're really talking about. Of beginning mm-hmm. to resolve conflict. We're listening and we're resolving.
Absolutely. So we're going to listen in order to resolve. A lot of what we're going to get to, you know, like I said, some of the things that are going on in the world today. You mentioned the Congress. You mentioned the political arena. So we have a couple of minutes here. Let's dig just a little deeper into that, because at one time in your life, you know, that was your trigger, you know, what the political parties had to say or didn't say or did do or didn't do as pertains to black folks in America. When you see that, when you see the dysfunction in our public offices now, you got people going to jail, you know, a lot's being revealed. Social media is telling on a whole bunch of folk today. What do you see as listeners to this crap that's going on within Congress and the Senate? What do you suggest that we do to not allow it to cause more conflict within ourselves?
Step aside and let it collapse. That's my immediate response. I want to be able to respond to a question once I hear it, then I may elaborate, editorialize. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With respect to what you're witnessing in the United States Congress and otherwise, you're seeing what has always been there, but now it's percolating to the top. You're watching the collapse of a nation, an empire, and these are just the manifest forms it's taking. I still will hold true to the principles of metaphysical thought. The individual still has an opportunity.
And we're going to get into some more of your metaphysical thinking when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this.
Listen and learn, or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock.
Around the clock.
Around the clock. KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries, who is black, is slamming Republicans over their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Jeffries told reporters today there is no evidence that the president engaged in any wrongdoing with respect to his family's business dealings. He called it phony effort to distract from his House GOP's track record. Republicans are moving forward with formalizing their impeachment inquiry with the potential floor vote in the coming weeks. The inquiry is focused on whether the president improperly benefited from his family's foreign business dealings, which he strongly denies. Travis Scott, who is black, is sharing a collaboration with the watch manufacturer Audemars Piguet, which he says he worked on for 4 years. On Thursday, the rapper shared an internationally low-quality trailer for some apparel and accessories. It gave fans a glimpse of the collection, which includes a Royal Oak watch, hoodies, jackets, pajamas, and more. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Need an accident attorney by your side? All you got to do is call the Accident Guys.
Injured in a car accident or at work? Call the Accident Guys to speak with a real expert attorney for a free consultation.
Environmental justice, pollution, and climate. In Los Angeles and across America, people of color are suffering and dying from disproportionate health impacts on a planet that has less than 10 years to prevent irreversible damage. Heat illnesses, respiratory illnesses, water-related illnesses, food system impacts, insect-related diseases, black maternal health, and mental health effects. As the impacts of climate change mount, millions of vulnerable people, our people, are going to bear the brunt of these extreme environmental events, which will likely lead to forced displacement, loss of cultural identity, and other related risks. These realities are as real as rain. Stay tuned to KBLA Talk 1580 for more details about the most progressive multimedia and live events campaign any black media outlet has ever undertaken to combat the climate catastrophe. Experts, events, empowerment. It's all on the way from unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580. We don't black down. We level up.
Level up. Level up, 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 level up,
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 believes in community empowerment through the arts. Thea Chucha Central Cultural is on a mission to transform community in the Northeast San Fernando Valley and beyond through ancestral knowledge, the arts, literacy, and creative engagement. The Northeast San Fernando Valley has a population of about 500,000, the size of the city of Oakland, yet it has no bookstores, art galleries, or full-fledged cultural spaces until Thea Chucha's opened its doors in 2001. Founded by renowned poet and activist Luis Rodriguez, Thea Chucha's Cultural Center provides a year-round free or low-cost arts and literacy bilingual intergenerational programming in mural painting, music, dance, writing, visual arts, healing art sessions, and healing talking circles. Activities also include Mexica, Aztec dance, indigenous cosmology, philosophy, and two weekly open mic nights, one in Spanish, the other in English. In addition, they host author readings, film screenings, and art exhibits. To express yourself, heal yourself, attend an event, or volunteer, please visit www.tiachucha.org. That's TIACHUCHA.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
On day 185, LLS helped me file my insurance claims properly.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles is a nonprofit law firm that protects and advances the rights of the most underserved, leveling the playing field and ensuring that everyone can have access to the justice system. Every year, LAFLA provides free, high-quality legal services to more than 100,000 people living in poverty across Greater Los Angeles. Their unique combination of neighborhood offices, self-help centers at courthouses, and domestic violence clinics puts Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles on the front lines in vulnerable communities and at the forefront of change. LAFLA's expert team of attorneys, paralegals, and support staff works to provide direct representation, offer counsel and advice, provide referrals, and educate the community about their legal rights through workshops and seminars. With locations all over LA, you can access their services or volunteer to help no matter where you live. And if you have an urgent issue, call 213-235-0060. That's 213-235-0060. To get legal help, make a donation, or volunteer, visit lafla.org. lafla.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith,
a spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're discussing the conflict within with Dr. Coco Welton. Dr. Coco, before we went forward, you were talking about what we all witness on television sometime in our high houses of government. You know, everybody's yelling and screaming and fighting, and, you know, it's almost personal now, and it's I don't know, it makes me sad to see, you know, that the quote-unquote greatest country in the world, this is how they're handling their politics today. But, you know, we have some major things going on, and we know the situation in Gaza and Palestine is at the top of every newsreel that we get when we turn on the news today. And speaking for myself, I have my own point of views about this particular conflict and how long it's been going on, you know, going back to Isaac and Ishmael. And, you know, we're not going to get too biblical on them, but this is not a new conflict. This is something that's been going on. And I personally feel that the two conflicting parties represent that conflict within. You know, we all have the ability to think negatively and or positively, and we both have our fair share, do our fair share of wrong in any situation where there's conflict. And I think one of the things I see today is that neither party wants to accept their role in the conflict. They want to point the finger at the other party and say, hey, you started this, you mistreated me, I'm just responding to you. And they both seem to echo that same thing. And I'm not going to get into who's right or wrong. And the last thing I want is to be labeled anti-Semitic, I believe the term is, or pro-Hamas. I'm not either. I'm just observing how these people are treating each other. So the thing that I hear most, though, when somebody does speak out about this conflict, and particularly if they speak out about what CNN and other people are calling some of the atrocities about the women and children that are being killed after October 7th by the Israeli army, you know, these are not, I'm not saying Jewish people. I'm talking the Israeli army is doing this. This anti-Semitism thing, what does that mean to you? What is being anti-Semitic mean to you? Because I it's thrown out so quickly for anybody that takes issue, and I just want to know.
You injected quite a bit into your forethought, but let me back the tape up just a bit. First, let me respond to the question again. We're talking about listening and conflict resolution. Semite is not a region, as a people, I'm sorry, it's not a people, it's a region where Semites are found throughout all of North Africa and the Mediterranean, as well as Northeastern Africa. That's a blood. It's a genetic group that had a particular language and background. Semites are the Palestinians. The Israelis, for the most part, are not genetically Semite. They are European, particularly Central European. So I'm just going to lick my finger and stick it on that page to wet it so you can go back to it in the future, audience. Let's go to this. This is an extremely complicated matter. It has so many moving parts, most of the public cannot digest it. So here's a simple frame through which to view it. The United States, New Zealand, Australia, and Canada or Canada, those are four successful settler colonies. Israel is not yet a successful settler colony. Why? Because they have not so decapitated the indigenous population that that indigenous population cannot strike back. So here is a group who lived in a land. That land was seized through the Balfour Declaration issued through England. That land was allowed to be taken and seized by foreigners. That is a fact. Those foreigners have continued to expand not only their numbers, but their territories. So that is a fact, indisputable. So the Palestinians named Nakba, 1948, where thousands and thousands of Palestinians were murdered by the incoming non-indigenous population. So that is the most recent beginning. It is a myth to say that this conflict has gone on for thousands of years. That is not so. And also, it is not a conflict. It is population removal, because that intention is to become a successful settler colony modeled after the countries I mentioned. So if the humans were going to be around long enough, and if the current trajectory were to continue, they would successfully remove, decapitate, demise the indigenous population, and successfully establish a non-indigenous state that would be called Israel.
So I'm trying to take your advice, and I'm listening. Now, here's what I'm thinking while I'm listening. What you're describing is very similar to what happened to the indigenous people of this continent.
That's correct.
That's what I was thinking.
Without dispute.
As you were talking.
Without dispute.
You know, because the indigenous people of this continent were labeled heathens, savages, whatever, you know, they wanted to put on them for resisting the influence.
The takeover.
That was happening to them.
Correct.
So that's what, the way you position what was going on. Am I clear?
I didn't position anything. I'm just reporting what happened,
right,
in a general tone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. And so North America, including Canada,
mm-hmm,
but Australia, New Zealand, same model.
Mm-hmm.
And now Israel. That's why the English were part of the process. Don't forget, they went in search of a place to put this particular group of people. Palestine was not the first choice. There was a global search as to where they could be placed. Palestine was then chosen because the Zionist faction of Jewry, meaning we will find a homeland and we will colonize it, they chose eventually Palestine. And at that point began the opportunity for them to then take that territory and expand.
So you mentioned 1948. Was that, that's... what's the brother that went to Jeff and UCLA, Ralph Bunche? Didn't he have something to do with crafting what was supposed to be a solution? Or I don't want to use
that came later.
Okay.
In the beginning, it was the English under Lord Balfour who wrote out. Now, keep in mind, the Balfour Declaration is not law.
Right.
It's just what it says. It's a declaration. Ralph Bunche, at that time in the United Nations, they began to map out the details as to how this would come about.
So we're talking about conflict resolution.
That's another thing. Excuse me for interrupting you. We might want to drop that word. We can strike that word conflict. It is not a conflict. It's population removal.
I understand.
And it continues to be described as a conflict. Even in our latest events, that is not a Palestinian Israeli. If you notice, the news information system keeps saying Hamas and Israel.
Right.
No, it is Palestinian people and the Israeli state that is attempting to remove them from their land.
Okay. And I know you see things, you know, at a level that many people don't. So when I use the word conflict, I'm using a word that most people can identify, because when I look at the news and when I read the newspaper, when I go online and I see things from different sources about what's going on, it's presented to me as a conflict, something that's taking place. Now, I personally,
let me put you on the spot.
Yes.
If I'm a robber and I approach you at gunpoint,
right.
I'm pointing a weapon at you, and you defend yourself. Maybe you strike me. Maybe you pull out a weapon. Mm-hmm. Is that a conflict, or were you defending yourself?
Well,
is it a conflict? Yes or no?
I think it's both. I think once somebody pulls a gun on you or attacks you, that creates a conflict between you and that individual. Yes, I do see that as a conflict. And what you're saying is
that might be a stretch.
Yeah, what you're saying is both sides is what both sides of this particular faction are saying. They pulled their gun on me first. That's what both. I'm not saying what's true or what's not true. I'm saying what they're both saying in defense of their own actions. You know, what happened on October 7th was a tragedy, terrible. Everybody agrees that was something that probably should not have happened. But the people that did it, in their minds, were doing it in defense of what you described, somebody trying to take over their land or push them out or annihilate them or whatever. Now we have the Jewish authorities saying, hey, we're killing babies. We're doing all these things that we're doing. These babies are being killed, but it's not our fault. It's their fault.
Minister
because
Gerald,
they have
far be it
moved
from me
into that.
To attempt to rationalize violence on anybody's part. Mm-hmm. And far be it for me to do that. I'm only explaining a dynamic. A population is being removed. That's all I'm explaining is there is a dynamic. Now, whatever ensues as a result of that cause, it ensues. That's all I'm saying. But what I don't want to be put into is the model of discourse that the system, the matrix, they typically do that. In the 60s, what they did to us, they said, okay, are you for violence or nonviolence? Well, that's a false dilemma, because the reality is it always takes both. It always takes both. And far be it from any of us to justify the violence that was levied against the planet, against this continent, when the whites came over from Europe. That was extremely violent, from the Caribbean on the east to California on the west. So they came with extreme violence, both against the land and against the people. So with respect to the idea that you put us in the position where I don't want to justify what happened on October 7th, there's nothing to justify, no more than there's anything to condemn. What happened is the logical result of what happened preceding that.
So
what it does is it always excuses the perpetrators, the initiators. It always excuses them. They love setting it up like that. They love setting, and that's why oftentimes you'll hear moderators, programmers, they'll say, well, I'm not trying to make excuses for what happened October 7th. Well, that's the same as an individual being raped, and then they take out a fingernail file, and they stab the perpetrator.
You know what? As you always do,
you're
going deep, and we're going to get back to conflict resolution or the conflict within when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
Celebrate Southern California's health equity heroes at California Black Health Network's 40th anniversary event at Hotel Indigo's 18 Social, Thursday, December 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. Join us as we celebrate 40 years of advancing health equity for Black Californians and honor local organizations like Black Women for Wellness, the California Black Women's Health Project, Riverside County PEI, and the African American Infant and Maternal Mortality Project, December 7th. Buy your tickets now at cablackhealthnetwork.org.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Lowe's knows how to save pros time and money. Right now, get up to 40% off vanities. And there's more. Get up to 50% off select tools and accessories from trusted top brands like DeWalt and Craftsman. Visit us in-store or online for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. About 11:30 through 12:06. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Kingsley Gillette knows you're dedicated to your barbershop routine, but how do you maintain the beard hair you already have? The Kingsley Gillette Beard Thickener helps to reduce patchiness and strengthens hair's resilience to breakage. Apply the Kingsley Gillette Beard Thickener daily to see a thicker and fuller beard in just 14 days. It's highly scented with Kingsley Gillette's signature scent. Just trim, wash, and soften. With King C. Gillette.
For all of us, this generation and the next, there is simply no place in our lives for litter. And yet, it's everywhere we look. And unfortunately, it does belong to all of us. So, let's come together and create a litter-free, clean California, once and for all. Remember to properly dispose of your trash and recycling. Secure truckloads with tarps to keep debris from flying out. Clean out your car when you're at a gas station. Take pride in your community by organizing a cleanup event or join a cleanup event near you. Zero litter is the goal. Join us at cleanca.com. That's cleanca.com. Let's do it together. Brought to you by Caltrans. cleanca.com.
We knew you'd stick around. This is LA's home for progressive talk radio.
Be heard.
Welcome back to KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're talking about the conflict within with Dr. Coco Welton. We were touching on the biggest thing in the news today, which was the conflict that's going on over in Gaza, and he has some point of views that I'm sure has raised some interest in some of you. And we do have Meek Ayel on line one who wants to comment. Brother Meek, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Shalom, shalom. My name's Meek Ayel Yashara. I'm a Hebrew Israelite, and I wanted to say before the 1900s, there was no Israel on the map at all, and these so-called Jews, you know, because Israel was still in captivity. They had to do 400 years if you read the Old Testament, you know, and he did it. And it's about hearing ships in 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. But what I'm saying that the white Jews tried to claim Nigeria at one time to start the new Israel, because Israel was a black people, you know. And so they end up going back to further when the Israel was destroyed in 70 A.D., then they fled into Africa, the Israelites. They black and the Africans are black. So I'm saying is this modern day Israel is going to lead to World War III or whatever. You know, it's going to be destroyed, and we will come out of this curse for 400 years, because black people have been, you see all the killings, Black Wall Street and slavery, and going to Buffalo, New York, you kill blacks, and church in South Carolina, you kill blacks, and bomb in 1963 and kill four little black girls. When are we going to wake up? Our true identity is Israel is a Greek name, but, you know, Yashara is the Hebrew name. When are we going to wake up from the Valley of the Dry Bones or who we really are? We are Israel, not them.
I understand, my brother, and I appreciate you chiming in, which leads me to a question that, and I know Dr. Coco is going to comment on what you had to say, but I want to throw a question in at you too, my brother, is that, as far as I'm concerned, being Jewish is a form of worship. It's a religion. But it seems like over the years, when, you know, being Jewish became almost a political party or, you know, became more than a religion. It became a race of people. So help me with that, Coco, because I've never been able to you know, dissect that. You know, I look at it as a religion, and just like Muslims, Jews, you know, Sikh, there's many, many religions, and all of the foundation of all those religions are, you know, they have a quality concept of what life should be about and how we should take care of each other and love each other and work together. But yet now we have this idea that, you know, being Jewish is more of a race of people that's being persecuted or persecuting, if that makes any sense to you.
It does. When you speak of Jewry, that is a religion. When you read their books, if you can ever get hold of one, then read what the books that they read say. I say to your audience, raise your hand if you've ever been inside a synagogue. Raise your hand if you've ever read the Torah. So supremacy, that word has relevance. Mm-hmm. That's why I posited it. With respect to the issues I'm speaking of this morning, I'm not speaking of Jewry. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking of Zionism. Mm-hmm. Zionism is an offshoot of Jewry. It is those who have now taken the scriptures and have announced their right to entitlement and to supremacy, to violate international law, national law, ethical and moral law. It is a free e-ticket to do what they want, when they want, with whom they want. But again, I'm speaking of Zionism. And everything that I just put forward has been and will be documented. And all you've got to do is listen to one of their own, Professor Normal Finkelstein, mm-hmm. one of their own, mm-hmm. a man totally scholastically inclined and extremely well-informed and enlightened. Just listen to one of their own. So let's go to a settlement issue regarding conflict resolution so that we can give something to your audience more than the politic. People, you have an opportunity in your local mosques, your churches. You already have community in your support groups, your volunteer groups, your fraternity groups. You already have instruments, not only to resolve conflict, but to be community, to get along with one another. Getting along is something that is elaborate because first it begins with yourself. What we said in the beginning is, what is the nature of conflict in me as I'm speaking to your audience? The things I do versus what I think I know should be done. And then if I'm doing something different from what I know or think should be done, that's conflict in me. At 70, what I'm doing is I'm learning to do what I know to do, what is right inside me to do. And it has reduced my level of inner conflict. That's why I've got nearly 40 years of never having any substance in my body. Mm-hmm. I said any. The conflict level reduces. Your codependency for external things reduces. Mm-hmm. You already have community set up. Church, support groups, volunteer groups, sobriety groups. Please start today with just one idea. One idea that 'll help us all. Listen. Simple idea. Listen to what the other person is saying. And that other person, you'll know if they heard you, if they can mirror, which means tell you what you just said. And then keep working with that point until that person can tell you what you just said.
You know, I believe that we have an opportunity and an obligation to help our community, in particular our young people, understand that all of these things that they see going on around them that appear to be confusion, that appear to be war, that appear to be discourse, that, you know, we only got less than a minute here, Dr. Coco, but what if you could say one thing to the young people that you say to your, what do you tell your grandkids and your children about moving forward and eliminating conflict?
this generation is geared differently and wired differently, so I'll try to frame it in just a few seconds. For this generation, the key is going to be put down your notebook, put down your tablet, and learn to speak one to the other and to listen. They're not learning communication skills.
Gotcha. So put the phone down, put the tablets down, put all this social media down, and talk to one another face to face, write a letter, read a book.
And then have an elder or some other person stand there and coach the communication.
Gotcha. Dr. Coco, we didn't get a chance to get to it all, but I'm sure that there's some people who have been enlightened by what you've had to say. Thank you for being here. Urban Family Focus is out. Black Lives Matter is in.